meeting to our brother Stover to minister God's word to our hearts.
I'm all wired for sound here, but I don't know. I feel like I'm
in a straitjacket. I hope you've never been in a straitjacket. I hope you never get into one. I have a few of the little paper that we do, and this one has two issues, the last two issues in it, March and April. You see, we're ahead of time. We've done April already. But maybe we're behind time on March. But these are the last two issues on the prayer life. And I brought some along for those who do not get it through the mail. Is there anyone here that has received it through the mail so far? Well, it's the postal service. It was mailed in time to be here, I think. But it is a little slow sometimes. I was interested in the names of these children, Patrick, Michael, and Shannon. I'm going to keep them close to my Bible. And as I see that, I want to pray for those children and for the parents. Patrick, Michael, and Shannon. My mind ran back to some lectures that I attended at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. And would you believe it that the professor was Professor Sherrick from Shannon, Ireland. Ireland. And he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And he was teaching because he'd been in British intelligence. And we've heard, of course, of things Irish many times, and I just have a great place in my heart for them. May the Lord bless these dear children and use them ultimately for His greatest glory. Now, we had two words to discuss with you this morning. But you know, it's a short message when you just have two words. And I've never given one with just two words. You know that. And don't remind me of it. But I think the words that we were supposed to deal with this morning, as I announced, were the words regeneration and justification. Those are theological terms, and they sound very ominous. But I think that the Word of God can improve upon some of these theological terms. And I'd like to talk to you this morning just about one. That'll cut the message in half, so it'll only be an hour long this morning. We had a friend who was a pastor in Philadelphia. His wife was his timekeeper. Now, she didn't do this just when she got tired from a long message. But when it came 12 o'clock, she used to drop a little hymn book on the floor. And that was Dr. Clarence Mason. I don't think he ever paid too much attention to it, really. He probably paid attention to her when they got home. But seriously, we'll try to keep this within at least 3 hours. All right. Regeneration. Sounds like a great big word. But I'm going to read you a scripture upon which this word is based. John chapter 3. John 3. And I want to begin to read at verse 1. We're going to make this to be as helpful as we possibly can. Now, some of you, this will be old hat theologically. You know all about it. But keep in mind that many times we have new Christians, young Christians, and they need to know what these words mean. I think since Billy Graham used the word born again so much in his ministry, that the press took off on the term. And they really rode this word roughshod. And they began to talk about born again, born again, born again. And sometimes they became just a little nasty in the use of the word. But we're going to use it in a biblical fashion today. I hope it will be helpful to even those of you who have been serving the Lord for a long, long while. There was a man in this chapter named Nicodemus. It says here in verse 1, chapter 3 of John, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That tells us quite a little bit. Well, we know his name, Nicodemus. We know who he was. He was a man of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the strictest of all the sects among the Jews in Jesus' day. And this man belonged to such, with the intent to discuss his future with the Lord. And he started out by offering our Lord a compliment. Our Lord was very, very careful to indicate that he knew this and could understand how the man was approaching him. But the man said to Jesus, Rabbi, that meant teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Well, now, when he said we, he spoke presumably for the Pharisees, but they didn't all believe that. He might have believed that, and I think he did. That's why he came. But he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Why, our Lord turned the water into wine? A miracle. He raised Lazarus from the dead? A miracle. Our Lord spoke to the waves, to the winds on the Sea of Galilee. You know, the Sea of Galilee is a very shallow sea, maybe 50 feet here or there. And those winds come down through the Syrian and Lebanese mountains, and they gather speed, and they come over that sea, and they whip up those waters, and it became waves. And you know, Jesus quieted the sea one day, and the disciples were dumbstruck. Remember what they said? What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? They never saw a man that could quiet the sea. Have you ever been at sea when you would have enjoyed having someone there to quiet it? But there's no man that can do that. Jesus spoke the word. And this man was right. No man can do the miracles that I've seen you do and others have seen you do except God be with him. And then Jesus got to the point with the man. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, says the Greek, or King James translation, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Now the kingdom is God's. Heaven belongs to the Lord. It's His home. And except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's a requisite for entrance into God's home. You know, I didn't always know that. I saw a sign this morning that broke me up for a moment. Down in the basement here. Something to this effect. Here's a little boy sitting down, rough looking little guy. And he's saying something like, I'm important. God don't make no junk. Isn't that precious? God don't make no junk. But I want to tell you, some of the people that I lived around in a fair-sized city, as I said before, all Italian and on one side and all black on the other side, and I got the brunt many times. And you know, I used to think, by the way they talked to me at home and beat up on me outside, I must be junk. I felt that way anyway. Junk. No one cared, it seemed, to talk to me about the Lord. I saw people pass the houses with Bibles under their arms. They were probably going to a Bible conference or a prayer meeting, but they never stopped at that little house. One block and a half from the tracks. And they never stopped to ask if I knew the Lord. They saw me there. But you know what the missing ingredient was? They just didn't care. Just like some of us today. We see the unsaved. We see the kids without Christ. We see the non-Christian here and there. We rub shoulders, elbows with them. But we just don't care. You may not like that. But that's what our actions tell us. We don't give them a tract. We don't ask them if they know the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pass them by. They're at school with us. They're in the university with us. They're at the college with us. They're in the machine shop with us. They're on the street. And we pass them by. But you know, God don't make no junk. For in those that you and I pass by, there are those that need to be born of God and become Christians. Look at it. Jesus said, except a man be born again. Anothein is the word in the Greek. It doesn't mean born again. It means born from above. There's your word, regeneration. Born from above. And you say, how can one be born from a God, from above? You know, even birth is a mystery to most of us. Oh, how wonderful God has demonstrated His wisdom in the development of the child, in the birth of the child. It is simply a tremendous truth. And yet it happens every day. We get so used to it that the word birth doesn't shake us. But to be told we have to be born again. Nicodemus was told he had to be born from above. Anothein. He must have said, and I'm sure he did say, how can this thing be? And so he had asked the question, how can a man be born when he's old. You're not looking for a birth, unless it's B-E-R-T-H, in yonder cemetery or something like that. When you're real old, you're thinking about other things than birth. But Jesus did say, except a man be born again. This is a birth from above. It's a heavenly birth. It's a birth that only God can give to man. But it's a birth that's based upon trust in the Word of God. And as soon as we trust in the Word of God, remember what he says? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, of course, that whosoever, anyone in the world, believeth on him, not payeth. I couldn't even afford to have a decent pair of pants when I was a kid. Had a lot of holes. We wore long stockings then, you know, when we were kids. You know, I'm at least 40 years old. You know, that'll date me. And you know, we had holes in those stockings. I found some pictures of myself when I was a kid and those guys standing around me with broom clubs in their hands. And they weren't broom clubs for nothing, you know. And you know, I got holes in the stockings. You know, I believe that it might raise some questions to say you must be born from heaven. And a man might say, how can I be born? I'm old and getting old. Nicodemus must have been getting old. How can I be born? How can anyone be born when he's old? And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, mark this down, point one. That's just the introduction. Oh, we will be out before one. Notice this. Point one. Being born from above is not baptism. Some of the old church fathers thought it was. But they were wrong too. One church father taught that even if you passed a baptistry and fell in the baptistry, you were automatically born of God. And his name is heralded by millions of people and has been through the years. But no, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now, here's a translation. You test it. It's based upon some syntax in the Greek text, but I will vouch for this. Except a man be born of water, now watch it, even of the Spirit. Some say, now this is being born by the Word of God. We do know that the Word of God has much to do with it, and that's in another passage. But here it says, except a man be born of water. Now, he's going to define what he means by this simile. Even of the Spirit. And if you will read John 9 very carefully, you'll discover that Jesus used water as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Read John 9, see what I have said. And so John is the same writer here. And John doesn't mix his similes and metaphors, you know. Here he says, except a man be born of water, that is, John's recorder, born of water, even of the Spirit. In other words, it is a birth that is spiritual. A birth brought about by the Holy Spirit, not by the water of baptism. And it's always a birth in answer to man's faith in what God has said in His Word, that Jesus died for our sins, that He rose again for our justification, and that whosoever believeth that glorious fact is saved. And I mean really trusts God for it, he is saved. So now this has nothing to do with being born physically. It is a spiritual birth. And it's not baptism. It isn't reformation. A person doesn't say, now, I'm going to become a Christian January 1. I have to make some resolutions. Now I'm going to become a Christian. Yeah, I'll grit my teeth. And I won't cuss anymore. I won't steal anymore. I won't be nasty anymore. I'll be kind to all the people I meet. Even the kids I don't like at school, be kind to them. No, resolutions do not make Christians. It's faith in the Word of God. The Word of God that says that Jesus died for me at Calvary, that He rose again, that I might stand before God, a sinner saved by grace, that is, to use the word justification, which is a legal term, a sinner who has been declared acquitted before God with no legal charge against him. My, when I think of what our lives were before we were saved. I was going in 21 before I was saved. Going on to 20 before I was saved. Do you mean to say that I could just automatically do this or that and all that would be gone? That is, by my own works? No. I had to come God's way. That night when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I said, Lord, I am a sinner. I didn't have to argue with that. I knew that. I believe that you died for me. The Bible says he did, so I don't argue with that. That he rose again from the grave, that he, the living Christ, might save me. I didn't find any fault with that. And now he said that if I would believe the gospel message that I've just announced, I would become a Christian. And I believed that night. Oh, everything changed. 27 saved that night in a very fine church in many ways. People were nice. Some of them were people of means. Everything was done in a very religious fashion in the church. The preacher himself was a member of many organizations that he thought were good, and he even preached the gospel. And so it was not just some fly-by-night group. It was a church, bona fide church, where the gospel was preached on occasions. And this time I came to the Lord with others. I knew that God had done something for me because I trusted Him. I didn't reform. He changed my life as He changed your life. You didn't reform. You didn't sign a paper. You didn't go down over 10, 11 resolutions and say, I'll grit my teeth and I'll keep them. No, you did just what I did. I believed God's word. And I became a child of God. Now, what is it to be born? It is to be ushered into an experience of new life. What is it to be born from above? It is to be ushered into an experience of new life spiritually. A life that's in Jesus Christ. So that when you go to bed at night, you can say, Lord, all is settled with you. If I am called out of this life tonight, I know my destiny. Yes. If you're called up for service and you have to answer the call at 3:31 in the morning and move out into a foxhole, and you go as a Christian, while you're there in that hole with your buddy, you can say, I know that no matter what happens to me, I'm a child of God. I'm saved for time and for eternity. You don't have to be baptized again. You don't have to have anybody come and talk to you again. You're God's child. I remember one night, the Marine had been terribly, terribly injured. And I put my arm around him. I knew he was going to die. And he said some words to me. He knew that too. And so I gave him the gospel. I had to do it quickly, but he understood. That man that night, by the way, he had a Bible name. His name was Mark. Mark asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his life. That night, he slipped into eternity. Just like that. This morning, as you examine your heart, can you say, I know I'm saved. I don't have to be concerned about death. I know I'm saved. Not because of what I've done, but because I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, who took my place at Calvary, who died for me. And I came to him one day and I said, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I'll trust you and your death in my place. I know you rose from the grave, and so you are able now to save me from sin. And able, therefore, is my great shepherd to keep me as one of the sheep that went astray, but now is found, and I'm in the fold as a child of God. Oh, beloved, the new birth, we say regeneration. Oh, that's such a big word. I listened to a testimony of a man at Moody Bible Institute one time. It was at their great conference that they have every year in February, the Founders Week conference. This man was preaching, and 2,400 people present. And you know, he was unusual. Not because he came from Brooklyn. That doesn't make him unusual, but makes him usual for Brooklyn. And you know, he used to come down to the mission on the corner. And when they were preaching the gospel inside, his name was Christopher Balfe. They never called him that. His name was Lucky Baldwin on the streets of Brooklyn. He'd take a brick and throw it through the window. Smash the window of the mission. But would you believe it? One night, the superintendent said, we'll have the meeting on the street corner. And Lucky came by. And he heard the gospel. He didn't break the window this time. Knelt by the curb, and he was led into the experience of the new birth. He said, I am a sinner. I believe he died for me, rose again for me. I want to become a child of God. And then, you know, he heard about Moody Bible Institute. And he said, that's the place for me. I want to go to school there. Well, now, Lucky was in his late 30s then. And you know, a friend of mine was on the desk that night as he came in to register, wanted to register, and Lucky walks in with his round hat. He had a derby, beat-up derby in hand. He had a suit on that fitted him like the paper on the wall. He had button shoes in those days, and part of the button's missing, and he walked up to our friend at the desk, and he said, say, bud, who's the main screw around this joint? He wanted to register. And Lucky registered in the Moody Bible Institute. And then, you know, he wasn't a boy from school, really. Didn't know that much. And so he left the Institute. And his closest friend in the Institute said, "Lucky, why are you leaving?" "Ah," he said, "them big words that they use here." He says, "they hoit my head too much." Well, he left, but he never forgot his lessons. The things he did understand there, he knew he was saved and God had a place for him. It came to pass that he became the Protestant chaplain at the Bridewell prison. And Lucky Baldwin led many men to Christ. Before they were moved over to Joliet and to death in those days, he led them to Christ. God had a place for Lucky. But Lucky said, "them big words hoit my head too much." Listen, forget the word regeneration. Big long word. And believe me today that the word means to be born from above. That's what God means when he says ye must be born from above. You must believe the gospel. You must commit yourself to God. You must ask him to save you. And whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord, said Paul in Romans 10:13, shall be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I thank God that I came to know him back in 1929. How wonderful God is to save a scamp like me. God don't make no junk. Sin can make junk. But God can remake the man, the woman, the person that will trust him. Let's pray. Down deep in your heart this morning, would you say with me or to the Lord, "Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I am a sinner. And Lord Jesus Christ, I know that you died for me at Calvary because you love me. You're one person that really loved me in my sin. And I know that on the third day you rose again. And you have been living to welcome sinners to salvation and a home in glory. And you'll say, Lord Jesus, I now believe. I now receive you as my Savior. Help me to live for you. Help me to trust you every day of my life. I thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayer. That I'm now your child because I've trusted. And I know you're going to care for me. You're going to make every day count in my life. And then you're going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. And oh, blessed Lord Jesus, this morning, if there is one here that has said this to me, God, bless them and help them to live daily in full trust in thy word, searching the word for spiritual food, praying in fellowship with thee, fellowshipping with the people of the Lord. Oh God, bless them. If there's just one, we pray thee that thou wilt do that in their lives and make of the rest of us willing workers, representing our home in glory and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Lord of the house. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord.